This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn-Mark Rushenkanisen and Noel Lim. Let's take a look at how markets closed yesterday.
US markets were closed for Memorial Day on Monday. Asian markets, Nikkei was down 1%, Hang Seng was up 0.1%, the Shanghai Composite was up 0.4%, STI was down 0.5%, and FBM KLCI down 0.7%.
All right, and for more insight into markets this morning, we are speaking with Song Seng-Woon, economist at CIMB Private Banking. Seng-Woon, thanks so much for joining us today. So while US equities are reaching record highs, there are concerns that Asian markets might be losing momentum. Is the perception that the two markets are decoupling necessarily correct?
Well, I suppose if you look from a standpoint of how the pandemic news flow is affecting activities on the ground sentiment, then it is that case in the European side, in the US side. The vaccination program has been rolled out. Cases are starting to come off, although we have to remind them of the potential risk coming from the more, contagious variants that we are seeing here in Asia. So here in Asia, it's the opposite case. Just as we thought the worst is over, we've got new infection several countries. Obviously, starting today for the next 2 weeks, Malaysia will be locked down. It's just not Malaysia. I mean, around the region, we have seen a tightening move. Obviously, in Singapore, we are also in what we call the heightened alert mode for the balance of the next 2 weeks, countries and region around. So because of the news flow on the infection side and the perception that economic activities will be affected, although I think many businesses have coped and adapted, there will be some impact on the economy, on life and livelihood. So this is where I think we have seen some hit on the Asian market side so far, where the cases are rising versus Europe and the US side, where cases are or seems to be under control.
So, Seng-Woon, with that in mind, with consumer sentiment in Southeast Asia turning negative because of all the things we've talked about, including the COVID resurgence, which country do you think is going to take the biggest hit in terms of retail spending?
Ooh, good question in terms of retail spending. A lot depends on sentiment. Again, as I say, we're 1 year into the pandemic. You and I will have, whether it's at home, in office, or in wherever you are, or set up your laptop, etc. So it's much easier, much more convenient for families, for households, for businesses to almost work from anywhere. Spending, well, you and I can't travel, or suddenly me in Singapore here, I'm just within this little island, north, south, east, west. At least you had the chance to go around Malaysia or up to today. So in terms of spending, it will be curbed. But obviously, compared to a year ago where things were far worse, it was less bad. It will be less bad. Around the region, obviously, we are seeing a different impact depending on how severe the restriction is. If we look at, obviously, for North Asia, if we take China, for instance, they had the things under control. So retail spending has been steadily picking up, reflecting the rebound. We work our way down to, say, tiny Singapore here, where we had obviously retail spending being already affected by change in business and consumer behavior because e-commerce, etc. It's really not much of a change. It's really a case of how things have perhaps bottomed out and rebound. So this is how things are likely to pan out. Obviously, restrictions will impact and affect retail spending. Apart from what we want to do online, there'll be far less in terms of bulky or lumpy purchases. But we'll see, hopefully, things rebounding when things are better and we emerge from lockdowns and the restrictions are eased. And especially if we can get around moving as we get vaccinated. So being able to move around freely will have a lot to do with confidence, and that will obviously impact spending far more significantly. But we are still talking about sometimes down the road. So the country's impact will vary across the by the quality and the severity and as well how tight the restrictions are at this point.
Last night, the Malaysian government announced a 40 billion ringgit aid package to cushion the impact of the lockdown. Of this, it's a 5 billion ringgit direct fiscal injection. What will the impact be on MGS yields and the ringgit as well?
Well, we have to do what we have to do, and government everywhere, whether it is in Malaysia and Vietnam, Thailand, even in Singapore, we have seen, because of tightened restriction, because of the need to balance life and livelihood, that support measures has to be rolled up to cushion the impact on the broader economy. Now, beyond that, in terms of what's going to happen to do on the interest rate front, in terms of what's happening on the currency front, I suppose the economy fundamentals will be what we'll be paying a lot more attention to over the coming days, weeks, and months. I would say at this point, it's probably stable. I think the main worry for now is really about getting through the pandemic, and because of the impact, not so much of an impact, because of the measures that will be rolled out to help businesses and households, I would say with the economy at least being able to go through this latest crisis itself, then the impact on the currencies and the rate side will be far less significant.
And taking a look at China, Singwin, the People's Bank of China has directed banks to hold 7% of their foreign exchange in reserve, up 2%. Will this be enough to curb the rise in the yuan, which is at a three-year record high against the US dollar?
I think it's not really about the three-year high today. It's really, as the old movie says, fast and furious so far this year, in that the Chinese economy has rebounded very, very fast. I think they could well be the first major central bank to talk about tapering and essentially roll back the wall of liquidity while still in China and the rest of the world. So the yuan has attracted a lot of gained strength, mainly because of the inflows into the equity market, into the bond market. And as a result, which I think the central bank is quite prudent in saying, hey, that's too fast, too furious. We want to taper it off a little bit. And, setting aside some will hopefully take some heat off the margin.
And why is the central bank doing so? Was the rising yuan affecting economic growth?
Yeah, I think it's a case of not so much of the it's going up, but at least businesses can plan. But if it's going up too fast and furious, and you're talking about gain of 1%, let's say in a week, that can impact business and obviously business decisions in terms of how you price your product for exports or you price to your consumer, etc. as well. So it's more of that in terms of, just as the flip side, if the currency is depreciating too fast, too furious, nobody wants to hold your currency. That's also not pretty bad for businesses and households. Similarly, so on the other side, when it's going up too fast, it can also create plenty of headache for businesses down to consumer at home.
Samuel, let's wrap up with on this note then. What are your expectations from today's OPEC Plus meeting in terms of production quotas and maybe even global demand for oil?
Yeah, this is where they also have to think about what's happening on the demand side. Certainly, if we look at the global picture, things are better, notwithstanding what we're seeing here in Asia with cases and restrictions perhaps affecting demand. But if we take it from the global standpoint, the US, Europe, things looks better. So we have seen demand recovery supporting the price recovery. The question now for OPEC and OPEC ministers and the partners is really whether to pour or put more oil into the market in the second half. We're talking about business decision here impacting supply from July onward, when exactly that's what we have talked about, when the outlook is still somewhat a little bit more uncertain, especially here in Asia. Let's say better in Europe side, but even in Europe, the UK officials have also started to warn about the risk of a third wave, or is it a second wave? We lost count of how many waves have been going around, that they could still impact outlook. So yes, futures for Brent, let's have a look today. It's holding around $70 a barrel. So the one question, we see demand coming up, pricing to be supported, or whether the US-Iran deal could put more oil to the market, or prices can continue to be pushed upward. But then if that is, well, obviously that would be good for the OPEC and OPEC producer, but that could jeopardize global economy and feed into inflation pressure for you and I on the ground. So many moving parts to think about, but obviously I think they could gradually tweak the supply a little bit more from July, just to, I think, take the pressure off prices and maintain it around this level. Easy to say for you and I in terms of maintaining it, harder to do when it deals down to actual output being added to the market or being taken off the market.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Seng-Woon. That was Song Seng-Woon, economist at CIMB Private Banking, giving us some insight into what's been happening in global markets. And then touching a little bit as well there on the fact that OPEC Plus members are expected to convene this week to discuss production supply for the second half of this year. So that coalition does believe that oil stockpiles could diminish rapidly for the rest of 2021 as lockdowns perhaps ease. But, you know, as Seng-Woon pointed out, we're not sure whether we're going to see more waves of this pandemic virus just yet. And this is the opposite situation that OPEC is dealing with compared with last year when we were suffering from a glut of oil supply.
Yeah, so that led to the historic production cuts by OPEC Plus to try and prop up prices and reduce oversupply. I think looking in April, the OPEC Plus alliance was currently cutting by just over 7 million barrels per day and plan for a gradual increase by 2 million barrels a day up to July. And so this agreement to reduce supply in theory could hold until 2022.
Yeah, but a tightening market may call for the agreement to be revised. And, you know, the decision is it's a delicate balancing act, right? Holding output steady would support the market against the twin risks of renewed virus outbreaks and a potential export flood from fellow OPEC member Iran, as I think Seng-Woon mentioned as well. But with Brent crude currently around, it's still around $69.30 a barrel right now, it could jeopardize the global economy and feed into inflationary pressures that I guess not just Wall Street, but just everyone kind of pays attention to, right? There is a correlation between oil prices and inflationary factors.
So definitely something that we will be keeping a close watch on as we head into that OPEC Plus meeting later this week. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.